Open your Bibles to Matthew 14. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another night. We're all here, Lord, gather. I just ask that you help me tonight, help Michael tonight, Lord, as we preach, and that you give us your words, your thoughts, Lord. And I just thank you so much for this church and for the folks who made the effort to come these nights, Lord. And I just ask you bless them, bless us, Lord, and help us to accomplish everything that you want us to do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew 14, we'll start reading in verse 22. You know, I don't buy too many of those how-to books. And the main reason why is because usually they got like 50 things to do, and I'm not doing any of them. And I would rather buy a book that tells me what I'm not supposed to do, because I'm probably doing those things, you know? And so tonight, I want to talk to you just a little bit, half gun points, tonight about how not to live for Jesus. And, there's not going to be a heresy, brother. I hope not. How not to live for Jesus. I think these points that I'm going to bring out are probably evident in our lives. But, I want to hear, and this is one thing that I like about the guys that I associate with, my partners down there in Mexico, and the preachers down there when I go to the churches and when I come up here, is they tell me the things that I'm doing wrong, you know? And to me, that's a lot more useful, you know, to tell me where I'm wrong, you know? It was funny, I was talking to some folks in this church the other night, and they told me that they invited a brother here to the church, and after it was all over, you know, he made a comment and he said, it seemed like the pastor knew everything about me. You know, he was pinpointing everything that was wrong about me. Well, you know what? I kind of like those sermons. You know, I kind of like that kind of instruction. Yeah, I mean, it's good to hear, you know, every now and again, somebody pats you on the back and say, you know what, you're doing okay, I'm glad you're coming, I'm glad you're doing this, but I'd much rather hear where I'm doing wrong so I can correct it. And you know, right here in chapter 14 of Matthew, in verse 22, great chapter, by the way, it says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You know, this is a very interesting chapter here. It starts off where they get the news that Herod killed John the Baptist. And then when the news got back to Jesus, he goes out to a desert place. You know, he goes out by himself. The multitude shows up, and then he has compassion on the multitude, and he feeds them. 5,000 people, and just talking about the men, not including women and children, the Bible said. You know, this is an incredible story, how Jesus took just, John also mentions it, and he says a little boy has some fish, and, you know, gives it, and, you know, multiplies it, and they feed, and they take up 12 baskets of bread.
I mean, to me it's incredible. You can't be around Jesus and not see amazing things. I mean, it's just amazing to me. And this is not just some little fairy tale that we're you know, allowed to see. This actually happened. You know, 12 baskets full, and they just had a few loaves. You know, and I have to say, everyone probably was filled and had a good time, and they ate well, and they were happy, content. And you know, I can probably look at this and think, not only were they filled, but it must have been some good bread that was given. You know? And the reason why I say that is because I think of over there in John chapter 2, where they run out of wine, and Jesus says, not a problem. And he goes and they fetch water, and they bring water, they bring the wine, and then somebody starts tasting it. And he says over there, he says, let me just quote it real quick, in John chapter 2, after they taste the wine, and it says in verse 10, it says unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when many have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. You know? We're not talking about any man. I mean, this is Jesus Christ. You know? He brings out the good stuff at the end. You know, and I started thinking about this. I started thinking, man, you know what? We have had a lot of success. You know, before I came here, you guys had a lot of success. I'm involved in this thing with you guys, and we've had a lot of, you know, success. And I just started thinking, what if God had the best for now? You know, I mean, it could be, this thing could be more, right? I mean, could it? We could have more success. We could have the same amount of churches that we have in Mexico or more in Poland this year. You don't think God could break this thing open? I do. You know, I know people are cold, and I know people are hard to the gospel. I know it. And you know it too. If you do any kind of witnessing, if you're doing any kind of living for Christ, you know people are hard. They do not want to hear it. But you know what? I didn't want to hear it either. And God broke my heart. You know, I started thinking about this. Jesus goes and he goes off to pray, and he goes up on a mountain, and he sends his disciples out, puts them on the boat, they take off, and all of a sudden he looks out, obviously, because he starts walking on the water towards the boat because they're in a little bit of trouble, you know? And it also got me thinking about how Jesus is never too far away. You know, even though he was up in the mountain praying, he had his eye on his disciples. He knew exactly where that boat was going. He knew exactly what trouble they were going to get in. And he was ready to save them. And he just comes walking right up. You know, that's exactly our situations lots of times. You know, I love that poem, or that, I don't know what it is, I guess it's a poem, that footprints, you know, where you see the two sets, and then all of a sudden one set, and then the poem goes that you know, when the toughest times comes, and he's complaining to God, saying, you know, in my toughest times, you know, you left me. And he says, no, I didn't leave you. I carried you. You know, that's exactly the character of our God. He's not just any God. He's constantly watching over us. You know, and as I started thinking, there's nowhere we can go, absolutely nowhere we can go, that our God isn't going to take care of us. Look what it says over there in Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Starting in verse 7, it says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. The night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. You know, God has absolutely no obstacles. He can do anything, anytime He pleases. You know? And that's one thing I've gotten out of some of the message tonight, these nights and in the mornings, is that we have a God who has no limitations. He can do absolutely anything He wants at any time, and it's no problem. And I'm just hoping that now, right now, He can give us something even better. You know? But I started thinking about Peter. He goes out there and he sees Jesus walking, and then he wants to come out to him. You know, and I started thinking about some things that we need to avoid. Things that we need to avoid if we want to do great things for God. You know? And the first thing I thought about was that we can't do this thing on our own strength. You know, the Bible does say that Peter walked. I mean, he walked. I don't think he took a couple steps. I mean, if I stand on one foot, I'm not walking, you know? If I just take like this, I'm not walking. I think he definitely walked. He had to take two or three steps, four, five, six. I don't know how many steps he took, but he definitely walked. Who can say that? But you know, lots of times me and you try to do stuff on our own strength. You know, I can't have a good marriage without Christ. I can't raise my kid without Christ. I can't be a good Christian without Christ. I need Christ, and I need Him to be working in me and through me. And if it isn't like that, then it ain't worth it. Look what it says over there in Philippians. We should avoid this like the plague, trying to live for Christ on our own strength. Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. It says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." You know, we definitely need each other. We need our pastors. The Bible says we are members one of another. You know, we don't each have the same work in the church, but we're in one body. Christ is the head. He's the one that's governed how we should live and how we should act and the things we should do. It's God who we need to start following. We are members one another. And let me tell you that I need you just as much as you need me. The successes we've had before, and the successes we have right now, and the success we're going to have in the future is a partnership. Obviously, revolving around God. If God doesn't do it, it ain't worth it. But if God's in it, I mean, if God is on our side, if God is doing the work, why not let Him do it? Why not just allow God and just say, you know what? I know you can, God can do. And I think this is why Jesus went alone, and why He sent the disciples, because John says that they wanted to make Him king. You know, John chapter 6 says, you know, this, they wanted to get Him and say, this is the Messiah. He's going to set up, you know, His kingdom. He's going to take care of them. Maybe they were looking for something, somebody to take care of them. And it just wasn't the right time. Well, you know what? God can do lots of things for us. I have no doubt. You got a problem? He can solve it. You know? We want souls? He can give it. You know? We want more churches? Not a problem. But you know what I think God would rather us do? Offer ourselves, Amen, what we have to Him. Amen. Can we come to the place where we say, you know what, Lord? I don't want to do this work on my own. I can't do it on my own. I need You to help me. And we could walk. We could do extraordinary things. The second thing I thought about was distractions. You want to not live a victorious life? You want your Christian or not to walk right with Christ? Let distractions into your life. And I'm talking about fear can be a distraction. And how many of us battle with fear? I think all of us battle with fear. Fear of just opening our mouths. And I mean, if Peter denied Christ, I mean, the strong one, right? He was the one that was going to die. And he goes and he even cusses. He came to the point where, I mean, he ran so far that he said, you know what? And he started acting just like the world. He didn't want any part of it. Well, you know what? Fears, doubt. How's God going to do it? You know? How's God going to feed 5,000 people? I mean, if somebody would have, if he would have said, well, don't worry about it. I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to bless these loaves. You know? And not only is everyone going to get fed, but you're going to pick up 12 baskets. Come on. That ain't going to happen. But this is our God. This is his nature. You know what? In Psalms 118:6, it says, the Lord is on my side. I think that'd be a good bumper sticker. You know? I like that. The Lord, and that is an arrogancy. You know, that is the psalmist saying, you know what? God is on my side. We are on the right side. With God, we're going to win. We are victorious. But you know, so many things, the fears, the doubts, troubles, you know, people are distractions. They really are. You know, Joey, when he was preaching down there in Aguas Calientes, you know, he said, you know, that church is going good and everything down there, whatever. But he mentioned something about, if it wasn't for all the people, it'd be going really good. You know, all the troubles he had in his church, you know, the work would be going really good. Well, you know what? We're going to have troubles in here. We really shouldn't have too many troubles, but we're going to have troubles. We're a bunch of sinners is what we are. You know, and most of the time, you know, we're walking too much in the flesh. We need to hear more about what we need to change. You know, but the Bible says in Psalms 118:6, the Lord is on my side. Amen. You know, I think a distraction, a real big distraction in our lives is discouragement. Mm-hmm. Can I just tell you, and I'm telling me first, we have nothing to be discouraged about. Seriously, we don't. You know? I mean, God has not only saved us, but, I mean, we have a reservation already paid for. You know? No standing in lines. When the time comes and that trumpet blows, bam, I'm going to be right there. I'm going to have my spot already picked out for me. Jesus said He went to prepare a place for you and I. We should not be discouraged. I mean, I know it happens. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm not saying tonight we're not going to get discouraged with something, but we shouldn't stay discouraged too long. It does happen. Look, turn with me in 1 Samuel chapter 30. First thing we should avoid is living for Christ on our own strength. The second thing is distractions and discouragements that happen in our lives. Look what happens here in chapter 30, in verse 6. David comes with his men in Ziklag, and all the people are gone, and his wives are gone. It says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know what we got to do when discouragement happens? We need to encourage ourselves. We have to be responsible. A little bit was spoken about being self-sufficient. Well, you know what? We need to be self-sufficient in our own selves. We need to encourage ourselves. We don't need to be relying on, I mean, praise God for people and for preachers and for other people try to stir us up and motivate us and get out. I'm glad for all that. I'm glad we have different sorts of cheerleaders, you know, and just yelling and jumping around and telling us stuff and rebuking us. This is all great. But you know what? Lots of times what happens is in here we go, man, that's true. Oh man, that was good. You know, and that's for me. We walk out those doors, and it's all gone. We need to stir ourselves up. We need to encourage ourselves. How did David do it? Well, glad you asked. Look what it says over here. Look what it says in verse 8. It says, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. You know what David did? He inquired God. You know how to stir yourself up? You need to go to God. You need to ask God what you need to clean, what you need to take out, what you need to do, and you need to obey God. But you know, there's lots of things that probably you can use to stir yourself up that maybe doesn't work for me. You need to find something to stir yourself up, to encourage yourself. I don't know what it can be. Maybe a special sermon. Lots of sermons go out here. You guys have a paper back there with, you know, you put your name on your order, you know, certain sermons that you thought were good, encouraged me. Plug those things in and listen to them again. Maybe if it stirred you up when you were here, you're going to need it somewhere down the line. Pull it out of your library and listen to it again. We need to be stirred up. And this is not, well, revival's coming up. Well, you know, mission conference coming up. Well, you know what? Thanksgiving is right around the corner. You know, we need to be constantly encouraging ourselves.
Amen.
And on fire.
Amen.
And it can be absolutely anything. I like music. You know, this last revival you guys had with Mike and Josh and John got together and they sung that Amazing Grace song. Man. I thought, oh wow, John, he's singing Amazing Grace. And then they did that, it's a new version where they have like a chorus in the middle, you know, that, you know, my chains are, you know, are gone. That's a good song. I downloaded it. I got it in my car. My wife and my daughter say, turn that thing off. We're done listening to it. I listen to it all the time. I mean, it's just a good song. It just picks me up. You know, it can be a song. It can be a good hymn. You know, people sometimes when they come in here and they say, you know what, you guys sing, you guys have that hymn book back there, you know, it's so boring. You know, those songs are so old. You know, I mean, when are you guys going to get some new contemporary? Do they pay attention to the words? I mean, you talk about, there's something wrong with you if I know sometimes we don't sing with energy and sometimes we come in here wrong, but if you just sit there and listen to the words, listen to special music, listen to something, you know, and actually just truly listen to the words that are being sung.
Amen.
If you're a born again believer, it's got to stir you up. Amazing Grace. Yeah, man, that was amazing to change a person like me. Yeah, chains. Yeah, I don't got no chains no more. I mean, they're just gone. You know, I started thinking about this, and over here in verse 19 there in Samuel, in verse 19, at the end of the verse, it says, David recovered all. He inquired of God. God told him, pursue. Forward, man. You know, our God has no retreat. It's forward. You know, just go, pursue, and guess what, David? Not only are you going to have a victory, I mean, it's going to go on like for a whole day. You're just going to slaughter all of them. And not only are you going to slaughter all of them, but some are going to be running like dogs between their, you know, with tails between their legs. And you're going to recover everything. That's God's promise. And it says right here, it's exactly what happened. Well, you know what God says to us? If we preach, they're going to get saved.
That's right.
I mean, it's an amazing thing. You know, He can use people who probably fumble all over the place. And yet they preach the word and somebody gets touched and God just has mercy on them and just opens their eyes and they get saved and transformed forever. Just go out and witness. Go out and tell somebody about Jesus. Win a soul and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, I start thinking about the distractions that we have all over the place. And the discouragement that happened all over the place. Brothers, we need to stir ourselves up. We need to pursue. We can recover our joy, you know, recover, re-recover, whatever you want to call it, our joy of old.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you remember when you got saved? Don't you remember when God spoke to you and everything was just brand new? You think that can't happen again? That sure can happen again. All you got to do is go and pursue it. You got to put your mind to it. You say, you know what? I'm going this Sunday. I'm going tonight and expect a blessing.
Amen.
I'm going to the meeting and I'm going to, you know what? Before I go, I just think I'll just pray for the preacher. How about that one? You know, before I go, I just think I'll just pray for myself too to get there and have a good attitude instead of a lousy, complaining, murmuring attitude. And we all do it. Don't we all do it? I do it. But we shouldn't do it. The third thing. Okay, 3/4 of a gum. The third thing that I thought about Peter. If you don't want to live a victorious, I mean a Christian life, if you don't want to live seeing great things for God, then you just need to stay in the boat. Just don't get out. You know, you can say anything you want about Peter. And when you read the story, he failed, didn't he? Because he sunk. You know, Jesus says, oh man, oh you little faith, right? Oh, come on. I mean, you were walking. You were doing really well. You could have come all the way. We could have walked back together. And you think, man, that Peter, he just failed. What about the others inside? Never got out. I mean, you talk about bigger failures. They never got out. You know, I mean, I would definitely have been inside. You know? I mean, I'd rather, you know, Bill, why don't you go out there first? You know? See those army guys come with guns? I think you ought to preach first there, brother. I'll be praying for you. Right behind them bushes. But you know what? Failure has to do with just how you look at it. I mean, I was reading these quotes on the internet today. And they had this one thing with Daniel Boone. And they asked Daniel Boone if he ever gotten lost in the woods. And Daniel Boone, he thought about it. He said, no, but I got bewildered for about 3 days once. Henry Ford went bankrupt 5 times. Before he had success? Failure? I mean, it's just how you look at it, you know? I mean, Michael, you just gotta live on the sunny side of life. You know? Michael's always telling me, you know, your glass is always half full, Johnny. You always look at the bright side. Well, you know what? I like President Bush's theory on that. I heard President Bush say one time, my half glass is full. I thought, boy, man, you talk about an eternal optimist. I like that. My half glass is full. Man, that's a full glass, President Bush. You know, that is the way to go. But you know what? It's just it all depends on how you look at it.
That's right.
You know, you can look at yourself as, you know, a failure and saying, well, you know, we messed up over there in, you know, this city. You know, that church is small compared to this other one. Or, you know, Poland's just not doing, you know, quite so well. You know what? We don't have the numbers that we used to have in here. And we don't have this and we don't have that. But you know what? We sure are trying.
Amen.
You know, we're still here. You know, we're still plugging away. And you know, there's still 2 or 3 of us, you know, wanting to see something.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully a lot more. But there's still some of us that want to get out of the boat.
Amen.
I mean, who cares if we sink? That shouldn't be a problem. That shouldn't be an issue. You know why? My Bible says that God was right there.
Amen.
He sunk, hold you a little faith. Not a problem. I'll help you up.
Yeah.
With a little bit of a rebuke. You know, hey, come on, man. You know, keep your eyes on me.
Yeah.
You know, that's the key. You, some of us, have to get out of the boat. Some of us have to keep getting out of the boat. We can't. If we want to see God's movement, if we want to see God's blessing, then we got to just do some crazy things sometimes. And I really think that was kind of crazy for Peter to ask to come out. You know? But he did it. And he probably learned a lot of things in just in that few seconds, whatever it was. Some things that the other guys would never understand, even if you told them. You know? I mean, how do you describe that? Walking on water. I mean, I've tried to do that. Walk on water. You know, it can't be done. Only two guys have done it. But you know, I mean, it's just amazing. When somebody asks me about my church and I just tell them, you know, it's like I can't ever do a good enough job. You know, you just got to go. You know, yeah, but you go every Wednesday? Yeah, every Wednesday. And you go twice on Sunday? Yeah, twice on Sunday. And you're having a mission conference every night? Yeah, man, come on down every single night. I just don't know. Oh, man. But maybe tonight is a night you're going to get something. Maybe tonight is a night that God's going to touch you, is going to open something, is going to do something for you that He hasn't done in a while. All you got to do is get out of the boat. Amen?